Let's get rid of that intimidation factor. I want to see the regular person really front run the financial elite for a change. You're never going to have this chance in history again. So many people I know that retired with their nest egg and inflation in the last 5 years. They're saying, I thought I was great. And now my money doesn't get me half of what it used to get me 5 years ago. My banks that I'd had relationships with for years and done millions of dollars to my businesses with in volume, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, out of the blue, would just send me a letter. Our banking relationship was coming to an end because I was beyond their risk tolerance. They just shut you out.
Today, I have Antonio Duccio, the author of The Bitcoin Bible. I love the book. I want to hear all about how you got started with it. You are a Canadian entrepreneur. You have a distinguished career in the financial industry. I want to hear more about how you discovered Bitcoin and kind of your path.
I've been in financial services throughout my whole working life. I heard about it. I heard about Bitcoin very, very early on, maybe around 2010, 2011. But at the time, I was too busy to really pay any attention. I blame it to my success, I guess. Things were going pretty good. And I wasn't interested in another investment at that time. And that's the way I perceived it. So I kind of just let it slide by. Like most people, my brother, and I remember because when I had my business, I'd be driving to Toronto quite a bit. And my brother had mentioned me and he said, I should be paying attention to this Bitcoin, do some research and, you know, being the financial guy in the family. And I remember driving downtown Toronto and passing this house, I don't even know, some type of storefront, see the sign in the window, Bitcoin here. And I always kept thinking, I'm going to have to stop in there and figure this thing out or look into it a little bit. Like I said, I thought it's just another investment at that time. And at the time, I was structuring my own investments. So I was thinking, I don't need to be diversifying all over the place. I don't need to be looking at another avenue to be parking my money, not realizing what everything that Bitcoin really entailed, you know. And it wasn't until I really started looking into it and paying attention and starting to do my research that the wheels, things started to click, you know, and I started realizing it wasn't just another investment.
So did you have somebody who guided you to show you where to research or what to look up, or did you just start taking a deep dive on your own?
Unfortunately, not. I had to, through trial and error, and fortunately, really not any errors of significance because, you know, I take things very slow. It took a lot of time invested on my part, you know, to learn about wallets. And even back then, when I was looking, to participate in the Bitcoin ecosystem, I was still looking at it from the point of view as an investment. I had sold my business and I was looking for something else to do. And I was looking to maybe diversify a little bit more at this point. Mm-hmm. I was still looking at Bitcoin as an investment and trying to figure out how to participate in the Bitcoin ecosystem. 12 years ago or something, Coinami. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I still have it on my Android and it's going to stay there forever. To Bitcoin. And then on top of that, I started doing research. I had to find out how to get Bitcoin besides this place in Toronto that had the sign out there. So it was a slow process. It was a steep learning curve for me. But when I look back now, and which is one of the reasons for the book.
How did you decide to do this? And was it hard to get started to put your thoughts out there and create a book?
Yeah, good point. Besides writing emails and responding to people, I never thought of putting together anything like this because of my trials and tribulations And like I said, the steep learning curve that I went through to realize what was available to me. And I wish I would have realized it that much sooner. So if you see the book, when you read the book, you'll see at the very beginning, I wrote it for friends and family. So often, because of my financial background, I still have friends and family that approach me looking for investment advice, everything from insurance to mutual funds, stocks, and of course, crypto now and Bitcoin, right? And it was especially for my daughters. My daughters, they do everything I tell them. I told them to buy Bitcoin years ago, and they did it just because I'm telling them to do that. Not everybody has that luxury. So I thought to myself, you know, I've got my brothers who to this day have just started to participate in Bitcoin, even though I told them about it years ago. So I said, you know what? I got to put something together for my family and friends that they can refer to whenever they want.
A lot of people are interested in Bitcoin, but they feel like they have no idea how to get started. So I love your book, and I would love to, you know, share it with people that I see day to day. I still have questions about what's the first step. It's like, how do I understand this thing, first of all? And I love that your book explains, it's like a guide, you know, for people. It breaks down definitions of words that they hear a lot and they don't understand what it means. So you just make it simple, and you have like just an ultimate manual for understanding it. It's like a tutorial in a book. It shows you how to get the wallet step by step. It's perfectly laid out for people who just are starting out to understand it. And in a simple way, it's a tool, you know, for people who don't have to go through the road that you went through trying to figure it out by yourself. So it's kind of a fast track instead of that slow process that you had to take. So it's really great that you're getting the word out there.
I'm glad you said that, and that the book came across like that to you, because that was exactly my intent. I've been in the financial services industry a long time, 30 years. And sometimes my wife used to say that my daughters used to come to me for help with their homework when they were young, and they hated it, and they'd always end up going to her because she said I spoke to them at a university level, you see, and they didn't get that. And most people, when it comes to financial products, especially, they don't want the convoluted, complicated, all the details. I could have called it just as easily Bitcoin 101. They just like the Bible, the real Bible, where it's a spiritual guide and it's supposed to lead man to a certain place. I had the same idea for the Bitcoin Bible. I wanted it to be a guide that would lead people to Bitcoin, and not making it too complicated for them. Because it's not. At the end of the day, somebody like you and I who have been involved with Bitcoin now for perhaps years, and many people in our community that have been involved, they may look at the book and say, well, this is so simple. I'm beyond that. And that's great. But it wasn't really meant for that person. People that need to be orange-pilled. And they need to be orange-pilled, just like my daughters and my brothers and my friends, because I believe we're on the cusp of a whole financial system reset.
Was it just all the years being in it, realizing that a lot of it is manipulation, government controlled, you know, booms and busts and all the things that they do with monetary policy, with Fed interest rates? And did you see a lot of that from the inside, that you were just thinking, man, like once you understood Bitcoin and took that dive, you realized why Bitcoin is a hope for people to escape this cycle that they're stuck in?
Absolutely. And I also try to point that out. Besides being a store of value and an inflation hedge and a form of currency that you'll be able to transact with, and so many other things, which I try to put in the book, it's also an escape from the system as we know it. And being in business as long as I've been in business, I've encountered all the problems with the banks and the governments and lawsuits and lawyers trying to freeze accounts and governments trying to freeze accounts. I dealt with regulators, securities commissions, insurance commissions, and when push comes to shove, the one thing that they all try to do is get you where it's going to hurt you most, right? They try to freeze you off financially. And we've seen that recently, even with what they tried to do with the president of the United States. They were trying to bankrupt the man. Bitcoin takes you out of that whole system. It gives you complete control. And that's why I started out pretty close to the beginning of the book, trying to explain to people the difference between centralization and decentralization. You'd be surprised how many people don't even know the subtle differences within that type of system. And it's so important, especially this day and age. Everybody's talking about the central bank digital currencies. You know, it's so important that you maintain sovereignty.
That's the one of the most important things about Bitcoin is that it is decentralized. It is a protocol, how the internet was a protocol, and that the internet, when it was starting to develop, it was trying to be controlled by companies and corporations and people who would run the internet, but decentralization won. So the internet is free and fair for all. It's open. That's what Bitcoin is. Bitcoin is a decentralized protocol. People just don't think that word means a lot. And it's very important because when you have centralization, you have whichever currency each country is using, and government greed is just too much power for humans, you know, to have when they're able to control money supply. There's just greed involved. That's why we have this giant wealth gap. That's why we have the top, you know, 1 or 3% of people that hold the most wealth in the world, because they're able to do so. They control these systems. So I think the decentralization is an important word to learn, and important to learn about Bitcoins. And, you know, your book, it helps people understand in a simple way what these things mean. You have descriptions in the book to teach people.
But I wanted to keep it simple so that people can visualize it and internalize it and understand it. It's not that they have to go digging deeper. You don't need to know all the bells and whistles besides how a bank is centralized. You just need to know the difference. And it's important that you keep control of your own financial assets. You have that opportunity to do that. Even in my experience with Bitcoin here the last bunch of years, as I was trying to channel money out of my bank accounts into different exchanges to buy Bitcoin, my banks that I'd had relationships with for years and done millions of dollars through my businesses with in volume for years, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, out of the blue, would just send me a letter that our banking relationship was coming to an end because I was beyond their risk tolerance. They don't tell you why. They just shut you out.
These people decide the rules, and they change day to day, month to month, year to year. They just decide one day, it's not allowed. We don't like what you're doing. We're going to freeze you out. Go find a new bank. But 1 year later, all of a sudden, Bitcoin is in the stock market, and banks are starting to hold Bitcoin on their balance sheets. And it's crazy to think that they do this to people because they don't yet understand it. And they're trying to almost attack you. And then they turn around and change their mind about it. Governments are very slow, and banks are part of the government, the Federal Reserve. And they're just all kind of intertwined. They just don't understand it. And then they punish people for seeing something new early on. What you said about being on the cusp of something, we all are feeling it. People who are into Bitcoin, people who are not into Bitcoin, people are seeing through this charade. They understand that the money is broken. They're just starting to get fed up, and they're, you know, people are sick of it, and people are looking for other options. And it does feel easier through time to share your book with people and have them want to pick up and read it. When people are not struggling, when the majority of people are doing okay, they're not going to even think to look for Bitcoin. They're not going to think to read your book. But when things get difficult for people and people are just fed up and they're sick of it, and they're actually realizing that something is really wrong here, and, you know, to find out about government waste and all these things that are happening, it's a lot easier to give people your book and show them that this is a system that can protect your wealth and your time spent working. And people will be more open to reading it because of the fact that they are torn down. They're feeling like they're losing hope, you know. So I feel like Bitcoin is the hope that you're giving them. You're giving them a chance to understand this shift that's happening, because they see it, but they just can't wrap their heads around it. It's what's been happening lately with the stock market has been crazy. Like, you know, people blaming politicians back and forth. We are feeling like this great, great shift towards truth.
Yeah. And again, in the book, near the beginning, I think I talk about the problem that we're experiencing in the financial services mm-hmm. sector. I don't get too detailed, but I think I get the point across. Like, people don't understand even the number $36 trillion. You hear, well, they're in debt $36 trillion. The average person doesn't think about that number because it's way out there. It's way beyond their realm. You know, so when I break it down, my daughter looked at that. She goes, what? People don't understand how broken the system really is. I'm hoping the book at least makes them think about it. They don't have to know all the details, how we got there or how we're going to work it out. They just need to know how bad it is and that there is an alternative. You know, to fight the situation they're in, to beat the situation they're in, where, as you alluded to, where the government and the Fed are printing money to bail themselves out. And at the same time, it's just killing the regular person because what they hold is being devalued. You know, so many people I know that retired with their nest egg and inflation in the last 5 years, they're saying, I thought I was great. And now my money doesn't get me half of what it used to get me 5 years ago. Like, I don't understand what's going on, right? Bitcoin helps eliminate that fear and that problem. You have to understand it and you have to participate.
And by how people are feeling that they can't get far with their retirement, you know, they're realizing that it doesn't get them as far as they thought it would. So by people seeing that and by the Fed's policies, what's happening to our money across the world, not just the US government, it's all these countries around the world. They're actually showing people what's happening. They're actually pushing people towards Bitcoin. You know, they're actually because they need to have some sort of lifeboat. So they're actually kind of helping people see, you know, what's happening. The only people that aren't seeing it are the people who are toward the top of that financial ladder, where they're doing okay because they see their investments going up. It's artificial. It's crazy to think about that. And the more people that are feeling the pain, they find alternatives, which, you know, Bitcoin is the alternative.
Yeah, like there's no doubt that the middle class and the lower class are going to feel the effects of what's happening a lot sooner than people with money. But even people with money, even if they are invested in assets like the stock market, well, we've seen what's happened the last couple of days with the stock market up to and including today. You know, the bottom is falling out of the stock market right now for all kinds of reasons. And you, whether stocks ever recover again, I got no idea. But one of the adages when I was in the financial services industry, one of the things that I was trained is over the long term, it's always going to come back, right? Well, it's going to come back because of inflation, number one. So it doesn't mean that that dollar is still worth what that dollar was worth 5 years ago. And they say over the long term, what's the average lifespan of a person? Somebody in their 30s or 40s or 50s doesn't have 50 years, 40 years, 30 years to be waiting for something to rebound. You know, you need something to protect you from this inflation monster now, this erosion of your dollar and your capital now. And the very wealthy, the top 1% or 2%, yeah, they can ride this out and they're going to do great. They can go to the bank. You know, it's funny. Just the other day, too, I was having a discussion with a friend and he's saying, this is ridiculous. My credit card is charging me like 25%. I can't afford to pay 25%. But then you get these rich people that have money, these large corporations, they can walk into a bank and get prime plus one.
At very low interest rates. So they just keep borrowing and keep investing when the markets go low and keep kind of growing their wealth where everybody else is getting eaten away by interest rates, and they keep raising it for the average person, for their homes and for all sorts of things, you know. And then, you know, constantly through time, taxes keep going up, you know, property taxes keep going up. So if you're trying to retire and then you see your property taxes just continue rising, and it's just like, even though people think the markets will always return and everything, like, just stay in for the long haul, look at history, it's always gone up. but they don't stop and think about that. Even though their gains are going up through their investments, they're not even keeping up with the rate of inflation. So even though it doesn't, it still isn't adding up. If you make 5% a year gains, you're still not beating inflation. It's like a runaway train. And people, when they think that things always turn around and come back, it's at the cost of your dollars. It's at the cost of whatever you have sitting in your bank that's not invested has lost its value, and you could buy less with that money.
Yeah, inflation is really a hidden tax, isn't it? Where you don't realize it till it's too late. You may have these great investments, great assets. Besides getting beat up by inflation, you're paying taxes on most of that stuff too. So the government's taking whatever you're risking. And if you do make money, they want to tax it.
The U.S. government would want to get money the any way they can from the regular people. So they would love to tax Bitcoin. But when you have a decentralized currency like Bitcoin, where the rest of the world is adopting it and other countries are creating laws where there is no capital gains tax on Bitcoin, then eventually as the price keeps rising, because it will, because of the finite supply, because of the increase in demand, it's going to keep going up. If the government decides to do that in the United States, then wealthy people who own Bitcoin, well, they're not going to stay in the United States and they're going to move to a different country who won't be attacking them this way to spend it. You don't want to have to pay 40% tax to the government for what? Go live somewhere else. Like, people will just move. So I think that it's a lose-lose game for the government. They're thinking, people think that, that the government always wins, but really they have to change with technology and with this protocol, or they will lose a lot of wealthy Bitcoiners as time passes, and they're just going to opt out of America.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what's going to happen as far as taxation is concerned of any particular asset, because we don't know how desperate governments are going to get, right? You see what's going on around the world. Every government has taken their own positions with Bitcoin, for example. The positive side to it is that most of these governments end up following, and the U.S. right now is very proactive in taking Bitcoin mainstream, right? So I think that's very important. And I think at this point as well, it's important, especially new people who may not be involved in Bitcoin yet, understand that the financial services industry, it's a ruthless game. And it's run by very elite, financially elite people. Whether they tell you that or admit to it, it is. Like, you look at the stock markets themselves, 6 or 7 stocks were moving the whole NASDAQ and Dow Jones Industrial. You know, it just shows you how much clout certain companies have. So the reason I mention this is because a lot of these people, and I mentioned this in the book too, I try to address some of the myths and the BS that these financial elites have tried to spread. And media have tried to spread about Bitcoin. When they're telling you something, look at what they've told you in the past. Go back and do your homework. Look at what Larry Fink said in the past. Look at what Jamie Dimon has said in the past. You know, look at what some of these news commentators have said in the past. But look at what they're actually doing and what they have been doing. Now they're buying billions and billions of dollars. Right. Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they're doing. And that's why, again, with the book, I think for a regular person like me, my family, this is a very unique opportunity in history to really front run these individuals, these conglomerates, these corporations, these governments. Everybody's got the opportunity to do that still, even though Bitcoin's been around since 2009, you know. We're still so early, and you can see all the comparisons, how early we are, but everybody still has the opportunity to get ahead. And if you think these governments and financial elite want you to beat them to the punch, you're crazy.
They'd rather keep the control for themselves and not educate the people, where in other countries, they're educating the kids in schools about Bitcoin.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so important. Like, Bitcoin is brought to the world more than just a currency and another financial system. It's brought a whole new level of transparency. And I can see why certain people in government don't want things on the blockchain because everything is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Like all this money that this Doge is discovering right now and where it's gone for years would never happen on a decentralized blockchain ledger where it's available for prying eyes to look at. And, you know, Bitcoin exposes all of that.
They think that now the government will spy on you and see where your money is going, where you're spending it, what you're doing. But really, it's the other way around where now we get to see what the government is doing with their money. And that's what they fear. So they kind of make people think like you shouldn't have everything. They shouldn't know where everything's going. It's like they already know. Most people are on credit cards, debit cards. Nobody's using cash that much these days. Like, how is it much different except for that he can keep tabs on them, you know? And it's like, look at the Pentagon, how they haven't been audited in 7 years. They haven't passed an audit in 7 years. You know, they're all these systems are old purposefully. Like they don't want to have updated systems and they don't want people to know what they're doing with all this. It's like literally like a money laundering situation constantly back and forth between the government. We do need some level of government, but I feel like we should have the separation of money and state. And Bitcoin was built in a way that is different from all of that. Yeah, it does take people time to understand that it's not FTX and it hasn't been hacked and it does keep running. You know, everything else in the world has been hacked. Like, you know, people worry about Bitcoin, but they have to understand that Bitcoin is not the rest of these things. Like, people's identities get stolen every day. Like, you know, you get letters in the mail saying you filed for unemployment and you didn't. Somebody's stolen your identity. Like, that stuff happens all the time. Like, the U.S. Treasury was hacked a couple times at the end of last year.
People worry about Bitcoin because that's what they've been programmed to do. They've been told that, like you said, you just gave a terrific example of gaslighting. You know, they're making you afraid of something that they're actually afraid of, but they want you to think that you know they're going to be spying
on
you.
That's so perfect. Right?
They continue to do this at every level because they want what you have. Yeah. And I say it all the time: know what you hold. You have to know what you hold. If you understand that, you're not going to let it out from your prying hands. You know, you're going to hold on tight.
I lost there for a second. I got it. Yeah. And, you know, you talk about the transparency, how they gaslit you and think that they can see everything you're doing, right? True. That may be possible, and it is. But the things you have to remember, too, what Bitcoin also offers you is complete control over that. Mm-hmm. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can freeze it on you. It's yours. Like someday, with all this talk of CBDCs, I wouldn't be surprised that in the future at some point when a CBDC is introduced, you think you're having trouble buying Bitcoin now. Mm-hmm. Imagine when they can control or you can spend that dollar through a CBDC and you can never get Bitcoin unless you're bartering for it.
They just want people. It's like the ultimate form of control because they're like, you know, we want to be able to scare you off of it, you know, so that you don't go and run up the price and so all the Americans don't start buying Bitcoin. So scare you off of it until they have control. Then they do the CBDC thing where they can program money and eventually Bitcoin will win. You know, Bitcoin, I feel like, has just been through so much and it's surprising that it's still, you know, it's lasted all these battles and fights with people hating it and governments and they can't take it down.
Yeah, a stable coin like Tether, anything that can be frozen. And how many times have you heard that where they've frozen an account because of whatever? It's a centralized system. You want to stay away from that. You see, that's why all these governments now are wanting to come up with stable coins, especially in the United States, too. It's an on-ramp, an off-ramp for them to jump in and out of the Bitcoin ecosystem. But it brings it down into a control system for them. You see, any time that a central party, one individual, one computer, one government, how that currency moves, it's centralized. And Tether is no different. A lot of these big companies, they'll buy hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, they're definitely trying to gaslight, you know, the people. They're, you know, trying to maintain control, whatever control they can in the U.S. And that's how you see how the U.S. is different from other countries in not a great way, because they should be teaching people what money truly is, what you get in exchange for your time spent working. They should teach these things in school. That's a fundamental learning that people should understand. And they should understand that Bitcoin is a different system. And they're not teaching that here on purpose, but they are teaching it in other places. Why are American children not learning about this?
Absolutely. Like, every student should go through a little course like I've laid out in my book so that they understand the difference between centralization and decentralization, how Bitcoin is minted. They understand what mining is. They understand what a wallet is, a hot wallet and a cold wallet. It's not that difficult a thing to understand. A lot of people have wallets on their phones right now that they use for their Ticketmaster or whatever, right? So, yeah, this thing is not difficult, but that's part of the gaslighting process, right? They try it. It's positioned, so it's so far out there. It's risky. It must be.
And that's why I think people associate Bitcoin with certain things that it's not actually having anything to do with. But yeah, fear is a tool, you know, to keep you away. That's why I love that your title also for the book is the Bitcoin Bible. Like, if it wasn't for Bitcoin, we would have a very bleak outlook for the future going forward. Just like how people who don't understand it yet feel it already. They don't have a good outlook for the future. They know things are messed up, and they don't know how they're going to get ahead, and they worry about starting a family and how they're going to do this, you know? So people already have that feeling, but the people that understand Bitcoin, they say, or think, at least if they don't say it, they think, thank God for Bitcoin. Calling it the Bitcoin Bible, it's like, we're just like, thank you for this. Like, we have a tool, we have an escape. It does make you feel like that hope and freedom, you know, that you don't normally have sometimes in life, because the finance world is rooted into our lives. You know, it affects all parts of our lives. It affects marriages. You know, kids see their parents fighting and struggling. You know, that causes all types of emotional problems, you know, for people growing up, seeing the kind of pain that, you know, families go through. So it just causes so much pain. And that's why we're happy and we're thankful for it. And we want to share with people, you know, your book, and share with them a way to understand this in a simple way so that they can get started.
Yeah. As I've said before, the whole goal was to keep it simple, really, really simple, so that anybody could pick it up, start on page one and get, you know, from the beginning and get to the end. But at the very back of the book, I included the white paper. Most people we'll never be able to digest that thing.
It is cool to see that, you know. It's nice that you added it to the book, the explanation of what Bitcoin is.
That's the whole thing, right? Like the white paper, somebody doesn't need to understand the white paper to understand what Bitcoin is all about. A very high view of Bitcoin and how Bitcoin can help you in your life, in your everyday life, and maybe leave an impact for generations to come, like a true legacy. You know, it's time.
Yes,
that people start to understand the importance of scarcity, you know, the importance of limited supply. This is the only thing out there that is limited, truly limited. You know, people talk about gold, and gold isn't really scarce. It's only as long as the miners can make money. If gold is the price of gold is high enough, or the miners can dig and be profitable at it, they're going to go looking for gold. And you never know where they're going to find the next big reserve. But there is no finite supply. Bitcoin, you can rest assured that the supply is finite, and it's going to be very scarce. People participating in the ecosystem and how transparent it is. And that's very important, because anybody can get on all numerous sites. You should look at some of the charts and some of the graphs, like the rainbow chart. You can look at the blockchain, and you can see how many wallets own how many Bitcoin. You know, you don't know who they are unless they've released that information. They've made it public. But for example, I was looking today. There's 150,000 wallets that have 10 or more Bitcoin. You figure how many billions of people in the world. You know, there's 21 million millionaires or 22 million millionaires in the United States alone. There's ever only going to be 21 million Bitcoin.
Yeah, but less than a million wallets with one or more Bitcoin. Like, That's huge. And these same millionaires that you say didn't pay attention to Bitcoin because they didn't have to, you see. So who was paying attention to Bitcoin in the early days? Well, the computer geeks, the gamers who would win Bitcoin and ended up holding on to it and have a ton of money. And now, of course, you got the very, very elite, not the millionaires, but you're talking the billionaires or the Black Rocks of the world that want to control the system. And governments and these financial elites, they don't want that order to change. They want right. that order to stay as it is. They want to stay at the top, and everybody else has their place in the pecking order. And Bitcoin kind of has disrupted that. And these people in the middle, the millionaires or above middle class, they're just starting to realize that now, you see. And that's where I believe the real feeding frenzy is going to come in, not because of the Black Rocks or the Vanguards, but because of these people that are financially very well off. And they begin to realize, oh my God, you know what, get on board here. Otherwise, I'm going to be the bottom of the pecking order. And that's when you're really going to see, I believe, the feeding frenzy coming to Bitcoin. And getting there.
The millionaires that you mentioned in the world, right now, they're not looking at Bitcoin because it's not a need-to-know basis for them. But this infection of inflation, it's an infection of our system. And as more middle class fall into poverty, that infection, I feel like, will spread toward the top through time. But people that are millionaires, they're going to start feeling the pain at some point. They're going to start noticing that even their money isn't keeping up with inflation, but it keeps growing. This inflation will not stop. People will see this spreading and people will start to be affected. And then those millionaires will have to start looking for options. And that's because they start to feel the pain. More people are, without even knowing yet, they're feeling it, you know, so it's just going to keep growing, that pain that people feel. And eventually you have to find answers. When people don't think they need an answer, they're not looking for it. At some point, they're going to have to look for, people will have to look for an answer. And there is one. It's not that it's hopeless. It's not hopeless. There definitely is an answer, which is, thank God for Bitcoin.
And thus my passion for wanting to get the regular person involved, like billionaires aren't even involved yet at the level that they should be. People that are financially right. very well off. That tells you you're early. You should be positioning yourself right now. Mm-hmm. Get to 0.1 Bitcoin. Get to whatever you can. You're still so early because even these people with all this money have not recognized what you still have yet to recognize. That means you're early. You know, but look what the people above them.
The biggest asset managers in the world adopting Bitcoin and promoting Bitcoin at this point. So you don't, when you find out how little people know about it in your life and around you, and you know that those people are involved, you have to think, like, when people talk about making money on Amazon or something, they got into it early when not a lot of people understood what it was, how it was going to transform. But now everybody uses Amazon, and it wasn't that much time that passed before that happened. So you don't want to wait till, you know, oh, now I order from Amazon every day, I should invest in it right now. That's like, maybe now it's not the, I mean, it's okay, but it's just like, you would have been nice if you got into it before it became such a big thing, because you had that forward thinking vision, you know, of how the future could change, because with technology, things change fast. And Bitcoin is more than that. It's an entire protocol. That's why we do want to try to help our people. And your daughters, they're very lucky to have you. When you have someone you trust, like your parent, they know you were in finance your whole life, you know, and they trust your judgment on all that. So when you tell them to do something, they're just going to do it because they're like, Dad knows, you know, I'm going to follow his advice. And they don't have to do that deep dive. And then one day they will understand how amazing this protocol is and how it revolutionized the world. And you were very forward thinking to see that, you know, so they're very lucky to have you. And hopefully this video gets out to more people and more people could share your book with family or friends that don't understand it yet. It's a great way to educate them and not overwhelm them. We want to help. We want to spread the word so that we could help people before this supply dwindles down as it's doing. There's not a ton left.
Yeah, I guess my daughters are lucky in one perspective, but they're also lucky in that they decided to take the information I gave them at that time and actually apply it. You know, so many people are in that boat and they don't apply the information. Even myself with my friends, you know, how many times have I told them the same thing to get some Bitcoin? They've lost tons of money on penny stocks, you know, as opposed to getting Bitcoin because they didn't understand it. But the one thing, for example, my daughters that I'm very happy about, and as far as I'm concerned, mission accomplished, is that they were able to pick up my book and actually start reading it. And they're understanding what Bitcoin is now. And that is success. You know, not that they did it because I told them. And, you know, before they were always coming to me and saying, so when do I sell this? It's up. Like, when are we going to take the profit? And I'd have a little discussion with them. Now they're coming to me and they're not talking about selling. They're trying to figure out how to accumulate more. They're starting to recognize, starting to sink in that the value isn't measured against the inflationary fiat currency. The value is how many actual quantity.
The more time you have to be able to, you know, hold it and, you know, use it maybe in the future if you need to live off of it. People look at it for a long-term store of value. You're not looking at it day to day. Look at it like 4 years plus. Like, you want to be able to put money in this thing at an average rate. You know, if you don't understand it much, you're not going to just dump your life savings into it overnight. And then if you do in that case and you don't understand it fully, you're probably going to be freaked out and sell if the price drops. So don't do that. But understand it. Yeah, I feel like people should understand what it is, average into it, like start off and just get some, you know, just start figuring out which exchange you're going to use and then learn the wallet situation. The wallet, it's all in your book. It's laid out exactly for you to do it super easily. It's really not hard at all to do a Bitcoin wallet. Like, and the other thing you mentioned earlier was know what you hold. So sometimes when people hear Bitcoin wallets and they think about those words, the seed phrases that people lost over the years, people, you know, we're lucky at least now that if you understand it now and you start buying it now, you understand what you hold. You know, you're understanding that this thing is valuable. When it was worth nothing, it was worth a dollar or less, you know, or whenever, just very small still, people would lose their keys. People didn't know what they held early on. They thought it was, you know, just something that they won in a video game, or they won, you know, people, they got it as prizes. They, you know, it was not worth anything. So yes, people did lose their seed phrase early on, but as time goes on, you know that you have to safeguard those words and protect them and keep them somewhere safe, written down someplace, not in your computer, you know, just so, you know, you don't lose them if something happens to your computer, or, you know, someone has access to your computer and finds them, you know, so you want to keep them written down somewhere safe and understand what you hold. And as you're putting more money into it, you will keep those words very safe. So it shouldn't be something that you should trust yourself.
Yeah. And you know what, don't get me wrong either. I'm not saying don't ever sell your Bitcoin. Everybody's situation is different, right? I'm just saying, like, in my daughter's situation, they didn't need to sell their Bitcoin because they had other things they could access, which were less priority than what Bitcoin is, if they really want to access that too. And, you know, let's face it, Bitcoin is also developing. You know, you got the different layers that they're building on Bitcoin now. I foresee a future where, and they're talking about it right now, and it's a whole different discussion, where you're going to have smart contracts where you'll still be able to keep control of your Bitcoin and take out loans, for example, as opposed to a bank where it's used as collateral. And without you having, so there's all kinds of things that are in the pipeline, and Bitcoin is going to continue to grow, right? And just another thing before I lose my train of thought that you touched on as well, about the wallets in my book. Yeah, to you and I that have been involved, it's so simple, right? You know, but a lot of people, including my own wife, who just set up her own wallet just a couple months ago, she's still a nervous wreck about it. You know, I hope I wrote the C phrase down correctly.
So it makes sure that it knows that you wrote down these words in a different, and it asks you in a different order. So just write them down. And it does confirm that you wrote them, you know, before you just press continue.
See, people that don't have our experience or they haven't played around with it or whatever, they're still so nervous about it, even though they have it. It's not that scary. I try to address that in the book. So it takes away that fear.
Put them at ease and make them feel like it isn't scary, because what is scary and what makes you way more comfortable holding your own keys and having your own Bitcoin wallet is when you start realizing that, you know, there's bank closures and all of a sudden you can't access your money and it's gone. And, you know, all over the world, it's happening with other banks, and it could happen in the US. Like, you really could lose, you know, that what if they insure you, let's say up to $250,000. What if you had more than that in the bank and you're not insured? Or what if the bank just closes down? What if it's not like one of the big four banks and they just shut down, and all of a sudden now you have no way to get it because it's just, you're locked out of your money, you know, forever. So it's like, banks can't be safe if the system is crumbling. Yeah. So it's like, do you trust that bank? Do you trust that they will let you have access to money if there's a bank run, if people all start wanting to go remove their money and there's no money there? Because when you realize banks lend your money 100 times over out to other people. So if everyone decides to go pull their cash for some kind of reason, they don't have it. They don't have your money. So it's like, do you trust that, or do you trust yourself to write them down? You know, so it's like, you have to know that you are being responsible, and as much as they are not being responsible.
That reminded me of a scene from Scarface. You know, I trust me. Yeah. That's who I trust, me, right? And, you know, it's so nice. I travel. I like to travel. And anywhere I go, I have access to my funds. I don't have to wait on a bank. I don't have to pay big wire transfer fees. It's available everywhere I go. And if I want to withdraw some, I get it in the currency wherever I'm at too. No big banks involved, no nothing. I have complete control.
You travel around the world now with your regular bank app, but you can't just spend that everywhere, you know? So it's like, you have so much more freedom when it comes to Bitcoins. It's very, very nice to teach people not to be afraid and to, you know, realize what the real fear is. You know, the real fear should be that government is irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And that you can be responsible, and there is hope, and there is an answer. So yeah, that's definitely the message. It's super amazing that you wrote this. Pretty much you've imprinted yourself in the history of, you know, when people look back in time and they'll see what books were written about Bitcoin in the early days, you know, they'll see your book and you were trying to teach people. And it's just like, you create this legacy, but because not for your fame, or you're doing it because you want to help, you know, you want to spread the word, because why not get more regular people to have some security?
You're exactly right. I didn't do it for fame or fortune, that's for sure, you know. But like I said, the whole project started out so my family would have something they could refer to if I'm not around, you know. And they hate when I say that. Why do you say that, Dad? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? What's going on, right? You know, it's nothing. Just, you got to understand this. You can't depend on somebody else. This is so important. What's going on? And it's not a big step. It's so simple. And kick yourself down the road because you thought you made it something it wasn't. Pick up any book, you know, just start doing a little research, download a wallet, go to your Play Store, Google Play Store, Apple Store, download a wallet, play around with it. There's nothing there, you know. Make your mistakes, delete, start all over again, learn about seed phrases, and, you know, get comfortable, play. But I'm telling you, let's get rid of that intimidation factor. I want to see the regular person really front run the financial elite for a change. You're never going to have this chance in history again.
It's once in a bloodline opportunity, not just once in a lifetime.
I love looking at some of those memes on Twitter, you know, hey Dad, how come you're so rich? Yeah. Because I bought
my coin. I love those. Those are my favorite. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been an amazing talk. I can't wait to share your story, and can't wait to share your book. Now that I've read it, I can lend it out to other people too. I'll post the link down below too, so people can actually get it for their family or their friends. Thank you for joining me. Have a great day.